Welcome back to the Mobile Home Investing Lessons podcast with your host, John Fedro. Tune in weekly. Plus, listen to past episodes designed to make you money, save you time, and give you confidence as an active mobile home investor. Now, here's your host, John Fedro.
All right. Welcome back. Thank you so much for being here again. This is the Mobile Home Investing Lessons podcast. All right, Vince, thank you so much for being here yet again.
Hey, how's it going, John? Pleasure to be here.
Real good. Thank you so much. Please, with the recent experience that you have, you've only been with the group for, I think, since last September. So I want to say about maybe 6 months now, seven months. But you already have seven deals under your belt. So please kind of give us some firsthand experience about how this is working for you.
Sure. So let's talk numbers. In my area, lot rents are a little higher. They're about about 580 average. Okay. As you know, when a tenant buyer buys a home in a park, they have to pay first month's lot rent, 1 month deposit, plus the down payment. So let's make an even $600 for lot rent, just to make it simple, okay? So a tenant buyer coming in, even if he does a zero down, which we don't do, he would need $1,200 in his pocket at least, or else he cannot move into the park, period, okay? Plus, whatever else he has goes towards the down payment. So when you do the research and your tenant buyer says, I have $2,000 or I have $2,500. Okay, if he has $2,000 to move in that he can comfortably put down as a down payment, that means that your down payment is going to be $800. If he has $2,500 to put down, that means your actual down payment is going to be $1,300 because we're subtracting the $1,200 for the first month lot rent and first month and 1 month's deposit. So that's what the buyer's pool, so to say, actually has in that specific market. Okay. So once we have that number, we can work back. Okay. So say, in that area, just to make things simple, tenant buyers only have, $2,500 to put down towards the home. Okay. So you minus first month's lot rent, you minus the, 1 month's deposit. That leaves you about $1,300 that will go directly as a down payment towards the home itself. Okay? So now let's think about this from the gentleman that you're buying the home from. Okay? If he is selling the home for $2,000 and he has agreed on a price of $2,000, okay, what's going to happen is that come closing, the buyer is going to find out that, oh, you know what? I also need first month lot rent and 1 month's deposit for the park. I don't have the money. All I have is $2,000. And the deal falls through. Okay. So once you know those statistics, it makes things a lot easier. Because when you're talking to a buyer, okay, and he's been trying to sell, when you're talking to a seller and he's been trying to sell his home for the last 2 months, okay, and he's asking $3,000 for it. Okay, you can tell him, listen, your home is worth a lot more. Okay, it's worth a lot more. We're not even going to discuss what it's worth because it's worth a lot more. The problem is, the challenge is that in this specific area, the buying pool only has $3,000 or $2,000. Okay. So even when I buy the home from you and I resell it, how much do you think I'll get for it? And once you say that, he understands that, hey, listen, you have a family to feed too. You're doing this for a profit, so you have to make a profit. And that's when they understand. They realize, you know what? It's not the value of the home. The value of the home is a lot more. It's the fact that the buying pool has such limited funds available. So I'll give an example, okay? If a buyer is asking $3,000, okay, and I know for a fact that in that area, nobody has more than $2,500, okay? So that effectively leaves only $1,300 that he would get if he had to go through a deal from a buyer, because, you know, they need first month rent, they need 1 month deposit. Okay, so he would actually only get $1,300, $1,500 maybe for his home, okay?
You explained this to him.
Yeah, I explained this to him. Hey, listen, you know, they also need first month lot rent, they also need 1 month deposit. A lot of buyers don't know that until they come to the closing table. Then they realize that. Meanwhile, you've taken your house off the market thinking that this is a done deal, and now the deal falls through, and now you have to take a discount.
That makes perfect sense, because there are a lot of owner occupants that are selling their mobile home. When they're selling it, they're not going the extra mile to say, you know, okay, Mr. Tenant Buyer, Mr. Buyer, are you accounting for that park? It needs a first month. They need a deposit. You're going to have to pay electric. This park wants insurance. So typically a seller isn't sort of lining up and, I'm not going to say babysitting a buyer, but oftentimes there are other fees associated with buying a mobile home in a park that aren't accounted for. And then they aren't really discovered until closing, at which point the buyer leaves. The seller then is left still with the home. Now they got to sit on it again and try to resell it again.
Yeah. So actually, I had a very similar situation where the seller agreed on a price, and once they got to the closing table, the buyer realized that he needed additional funds for, you know, lot rent and the deposit, and the deal fell through. And this happened in the wintertime, so it is a lot harder for him to resell his place, which he has, and he's been calling me. So anyway, so once you know that even if he goes out and he's only going to get, say, $1,500 for his home, you can present your deal in this way. Look, if you go out to the marketplace, you can most definitely get $1,500. $2,000 for your home, okay? But finding that person will take a few months, and that's a few months of lost lot rent, right? In my area, it's about $600. So that's $1,200 that you have to shell out to find somebody who will buy it for $2,000, okay? I'm willing to offer you cash today, solve your problem today. You walk away with this headache taken care of, okay? For, say, $800. Is that worth it? And if you do the numbers, it is. Because it would take you 2 months to sell it. I'm offering you $800. 2 months of lot rent is about $600. Okay? You don't have to come home and show the place to all these people that's trying to sell it to. I take care of that. Once you sell it to me, your headache's solved. And once you present it to them in that way, they understand.
And this is in theory. I mean, this is what you're actively doing to close deals and to make it's so important to, you know, what you said. You kind of peppered this in, and I don't know if people that were listening can really understand.
Yeah, I think I rambled on. I'm sorry.
No, not that. I mean, I thought everything was very, very clear. But just the things that you had mentioned were the fact that over the very first phone call, we're not tiptoeing around anything. You are educating them. You're not being high pressure. You're not being salesy. You're simply educating. You're saying, listen, let me tell you about your market. Let me tell you about our market. Here's what you're going to see. Here's what you're probably already seeing. Here's our plan. Here's what's going to happen. And here's how we can help you. Or you can continue to do this. You can do this. You can do this. But here's how we can help, and we can close quickly, and we want to do the deal, and we know that park, and we like that area. So you're educating the seller, and you're being serious. So even though we're making the offer that we're making, that's irrelevant, because you're one of the only people with sort of their hat in the ring. You're making an offer. It's a valid offer. It's a serious offer. Now, I'm curious, how many deals did it take? How many closings did it take for you to really kind of tune in your number? Because you're talking to us like, you know, point blank. You know your numbers, and that's what they are. So how many deals would you say until it finally clicked for you? You know, okay, these are my numbers.
Okay. So, basically I've sold five homes now. Okay. I'm sitting on two, which should be gone in the next month. But it took about, I'd say it took about three or four deals because, once you'll only know your numbers once you actually start selling the home and you actually, because people will lie to you on the phone. They'll say, "Oh, I have $3,000, $4,000 just because they want to save face." But the real number is 2,500. And once you know that, it makes things a lot simpler because in your heart, if you know the actual number, you will be so confident. If I sit down next to somebody, I'm confident that I can get their home for about $800 because I know in my heart, I actually know the real number before he knows it himself. So he doesn't, the buyer doesn't know that he's got to go out and find these people who have X plus additional $1,200 to put down towards the home. He doesn't know that yet, but I do. And once you know that number, your confidence will come through and they'll basically buy into your confidence. Let me put it that way.
And that either they do that or they just continue to sell themselves and then they find out what the market will pay. And if they can, now here's sort of an exception. If somebody's coming from out of state, if somebody's coming from a different area, maybe they resold their other property, they have some cash, they just got some tax money back, so they have, $10,000+ in cash. That is sort of the anomaly in your area that, somebody would come in and pay $8,000 for a home. So it can happen. People do pay more for mobile homes in your area, bigger homes, nicer homes, newer homes in different areas. So it's not to say that in even in your area that, homes are only selling for a certain price. You just know the majority, and there are, dozens of homes for sale. So it's not that we have to close all of them. In fact, we don't want to buy all of them. We only want to buy the ones where we're going to make our money back in the first few months. We're going to cash flow another 4 or 5 years. So I just kind of wanted to play devil's advocate, and just sort of make a note that, in every area, occasionally there are buyers with a handful of cash that they want to spend. So you're not going to get every home, and in some instances, there will be a buyer that will pay more. And if that's the case, good for that seller. They should sell for what they want. But you and I know statistically who the buyers are out there, who our quote unquote competition is out there, and we really just have to, we have to be better than them, and we have to pay, more than them. So, and when you know your market, it's not too difficult to do. So I hope that really made sense. Vince, that was really, really good. I like that we talked about numbers. We talked about negotiations, which the negotiations, I'm not a big salesperson. I don't like to get into that negotiation back and forth, salesy. I think it's much more important just to educate people, let them know your numbers, hear their numbers, and then come to a win-win meeting in the middle. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And actually, talking about negotiations, so here's what I've been doing, okay? When I get a call from a seller, and I did this from the very beginning, I basically tell them, "Hey, listen, have you tried selling it on Craigslist?" Okay? Many times, most of the times, they say, "No, I just called because I saw a sign. I saw, I'm calling you off the sign." And I tell them, "Hey, listen, try selling it on Craigslist first by yourself because you'll get the most amount of money from them. Okay, try doing that first. Okay, if that doesn't work, get one of those bandit signs. Stick them out. Put like three or four out at you know f at put three or four out at say on a Friday morning at 5 a.m. because the sign police doesn't come in on the weekends. Okay. Also, put an ad in the paper. You might have to test it for a couple of weeks. It takes about 2 weeks for an ad in the paper to really produce results. Okay. Also, make sure you update your ads on Craigslist every 2 days because after the first 2 days, it goes to the second page, and that's how you lose leads. Okay. When you say all those three, four things to them, in their head, they're thinking, oh my God, what a headache. I just want to give it to you for a discount. Because once you give them, people don't want to work, okay? That's just our nature. If you give people the actual work that is involved in selling the home, then they realize the value that you bring. Then they say, you know what? Okay, you know what? If I go with this guy, all this work that I have to do is taken care of, and I don't have the headache. So what is that worth to me?
Absolutely. And that's super low pressure. That is worth the speed that we can bring and the professionalism and the fact that we have the paperwork, we know how to close, we know the procedure, they're going to get cash, we can get approved at the park, we can take it as is. All of that is a huge, huge value to sellers. And even if they do want to do the work, even if that seller does want to do everything you said, put in the paper, a sign, Craigslist, etc., the fact that we are telling them alternatives to us really sets us apart from any other possible competition in your area, and really has, you know, they may not like your offer, but they will like and they will trust you. Simple for the fact that you're not just saying, hey, listen, our offer is the best thing since sliced bread. Okay. If you can sell it for more, you should. And in fact, your home is worth more. If you can find somebody that will pay, that will live in it, just like we talked about on the last podcast, if you can find somebody that's going to live in your home and pay you more, take that money and run. You're going to get paid way more from somebody that wants to live in the home. We're an investor and we're in business to, you know, make money. So with that said, we're coming from a different point. We're helping to educate the seller. We're telling them about the market, and then giving them all the options how we can help, and the options how if they want to move forward by themselves, what they can do. And that word of mouth, Vince, I don't know if you've already heard it or seen it in your business, but that word of mouth, I've not purchased homes from some people, meaning that I've made them offers and they said no and they ended up selling to somebody else. But those same people recommended me to their friends who were selling homes. And it blew my mind. I mean, it's like, I didn't even do a deal with you, but you're still recommending me. And I did a deal with the people that you recommended, just because we come from this other point of not just wanting to purchase their home, but also just educating everybody, not one person or two people, but anybody that needs help. We're here to, you know, give them a few minutes of our time or more to help them in whatever way that means. Education, buying their home, both.
Yep. And you know, I also say this, I also tell them, hey, listen, I'll check back with you in a week's time, and you know, we can talk, okay? If in the meantime you find anybody who's interested in the home and he's giving you a number, give me a call. I'll tell you if it's a good deal or a bad deal. So if you position yourself as the guy, hey, listen, I don't want your home right now, let me give you all the information you need to sell it quickly. Okay, I'm that guy. When you position yourself in that way, they really open up.
Wrapping all this up, know your numbers to then know how to speak clearly to a seller, how to educate that seller, how to be professional, know what offers to make, know that you can make your money back in the first few months, and then continue to resell the home for 5+ years of cash flow. So important. You can do skinnier deals all day long. All day long. You can buy and sell a mobile home and break even, or just make $100 a month or less. But that's scary. So you really want to try to set the bar high, know your numbers, make sure that your seller is happy when they sell the home to you, your buyer is happy when they buy the home from you, and then you're in the middle kind of facilitating and putting this deal together. So we just talked about one little part, and that was sort of the knowing your numbers and tiny bit of negotiation. So Vince, something I'm doing here, I'm an avid reader. Are there any books that you're reading right now that you want to share?
I love reading like books on sales and stuff. Everybody's heard of this book, Think and Grow Rich, and then you have the How to Win Friends and Influence People. Jimmy Napier.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yes. He's an old school Southern guy.
Yeah, out of-
um, But man, he's his way of negotiation, I love. It's very friendly, low key, no pressure sales, and he really when you listen to his audio, you can see how he gets on the side of his of the guy who he's negotiating with. And you know, he's really friendly, really nice, no pressure. So yeah.
Great name drop, Jimmy Napier. I'll go ahead and make sure that there's a link somewhere on this page. But Jimmy Napier, he's out of Florida. It was it's interesting. I've met him a number of times. I was able to associate with a lot of high quality folks, kind of that old school investors. There were these Friday night pizza parties at an investor known as Jack Miller's house in Tampa, Florida. And every Friday night we would go over there, and there had to be, it varied week to week, but anywhere from six to like two or three dozen investors, active investors. And everyone there was, the median age was like 60 or 70. And I'm here in my early 20s, and I don't know what they're talking about. I mean, you know, so everything was shooting over my head. And then over the months and over years, I got to catch on, and learning through osmosis like that from Jimmy and from Pete and from, well, Pete Fortunato and from Jack Miller and from all the old school greats. In my mind, anyway. So yeah, Jimmy Napier, he's out of Florida. Great guy. So I'll definitely put that link. Love Think and Grow Rich. I read How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie at least yearly. I love that book. I think it's one of the best non-real estate books for real estate professionals. I read it every year because this, and I think you'd agree, Vince, this is definitely a real estate business, but by far, I mean, we have to know our numbers, obviously, but by far, this is a people business.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and if you like talking to people, if you like listening to their stories, this is not work. It's fun.
I like how you said that. Heck yeah. I like that. Excellent. Cool. Thank you so much, Vince. I think everyone listening got more than they bargained for today. So thank you so much again for being here on the call today. You didn't have to be. You're sharing what's working for you in your market. Other markets can be a little bit different. There's more cash buyers, but this is working for you. And that's something that I love. The more folks that I help around the country, the more areas I see that this is possible in every area, every state, except Hawaii. There's no mobile homes there. But in every state, in every area, we just have to sort of tweak our business. You have to know your numbers. You have to know your buyers, know your sellers, and just move forward one step at a time, sort of quickly, but in a safe manner. And what you're doing is definitely working. So keep it up. I know you have no intentions of stopping. Excellent. Thank you so much again for being here, Vince. And I hope in the future we can get you back on another podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks, John.
The ideas and advice given in today's episode are for entertainment purposes only. If you have future ideas or questions for upcoming episodes, please email us at support@mobilehomeinvesting.net. If you've enjoyed this podcast episode, the biggest compliment you can give is to like and share this podcast with your friends.